Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time for Crystal Clear Coaching with Maggie Holder. Join Maggie every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern, for an hour of positive reinforcement on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Maggie.
Welcome, everyone, to the Crystal Clear Coaching Blog Talk Radio Show on this beautiful day here in April, and I am so happy to be with you today. Just to give you a little update, I just got back from a weekend of seeing Anita Morjani, who wrote the book Dying to Be Me, and that was an absolute dream of mine to see Anita in person, and it was just as I expected, reaffirming in knowing that, you know, love is all there is, we're here to live fearlessly, and most importantly, we're here just to be our authentic self, to show up as who we are in our day-to-day living, and just to let our light shine. So I'm here being who I am, and I'm honored to have a guest on today who I'm sure you will connect with in the same way. Her name is Cindy Crowe. Cindy is an amazing woman. She's very wise, very gifted, and she has a lot to share with us today. So I'm going to have Cindy come on and introduce herself. Cindy, are you there?
Hello, Maggie.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you sound very clear, and we're ready for your beautiful messages.
Lovely. Thank you so much for that introduction. Holy man, how do you top that? That's great. And yes, I'm here to shine my light too. That is definitely my role. So I'm very, very, very excited and very honored to be here. Thank you.
Oh, we're so happy to have you, and I'm looking forward to all that you have to share. I know you sort of shared a little bit with me about what you will be sharing today, and I'm open. A lot of your teachings are very new to me, so it's going to be a new experience that I'm very open-minded to, and I'm sure our listeners will be as well. So, Cindy, tell us a little bit about yourself, and I know you do many things. I know you've you do universal life coaching and angel card readings and elder activities and divine life purpose work, and I'm sure a lot more. So just tell us a little bit about who you are and share the gifts of the beautiful woman that you are.
Oh, thank you very much. So on a personal basis, I'm mom of five grown children, and they all live here in the city, which is awesome. I'm very happy that they're all still here. They had moved away for a while, but they're all now back. And I'm also the caregiver for 10 pets, so any other animal, any more animal advocates out there, you'll understand what I mean. I've got 2 dogs, 7 cats, and a budgie bird, so my house is very alive, very, very alive.
Awesome. And Cindy and I talked earlier that if you hear the dogs barking, that's why. Then we said, hey, we go with the flow. They're part of our family, right?
Yes. And my youngest daughter is still living at home with me, so very happy about that too. So she gets to help me out with the animals. So that's great. And yeah, spiritually, I have many roles. As you mentioned, messenger. So I take that role very, very seriously. I help people to interpret the messages they're receiving. So it could be dreams, or it could be a song on the radio, or it could be animals they're encountering. I mean, we receive so many messages on every given day. So that's one of my roles. Another role I have, and I'm very passionate about, is promoting unity. I'm always helping people to understand about the medicine wheel and, you know, how all of our cultures need to learn to work together and to live together. And also, I am responsible for the lodge for Wabe Mayingan, or Grey Wolf Traditional Teaching Lodge. So, I have several jobs for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to say to explain a little bit culturally as well, because not everybody is. Sorry, Sunshine is helping me talk here. She gets pretty excited.
Oh, Sunshine, your bird?
Sunshine is Budgie, yes.
Okay, well, I can hear it.
If it gets too loud, I can move to another room.
Oh, okay, not a problem. I just love the birds myself, so.
Yeah, so culturally, I have a very diverse background. My mother's family from Port Arthur here are direct from England, and then my father's family from the Nipigon area is Ojibwe, and his father was Cree. So because of the mixed ancestry, I feel that it gives me wonderful opportunities to sort of walk in both worlds and help people from both worlds to come together. So I do spend a lot of time on that. And I wasn't raised with the culture, and I wasn't raised with the language, but I have learned quite a bit about it since that time. And my spiritual name is Mamishkwe Gabawik. So you would say Mamishkwe Gabawik Nadishnikaz. That is my spirit name, which is translated loosely to standing strong. Mm-hmm. And my clan is Caribou, and you would say Adik Nindodim. That's how you would say it. So, yeah, I'm learning lots. I was saying yesterday, I said, I feel like I'm in university now. I think I was in elementary school, and somehow I skipped high school, and now I'm in university. And, wow, what an adventure every day. Every day is an adventure. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you know what I mean, Maggie.
Yes, I do. Well, Cindy, tell us about the lodge. Is the lodge an actual physical place, or is it a way of teaching or a philosophy? Tell us a little more about that.
So the lodge right now is very much a sense of community.
Okay.
The physical lodge that we build kind of looks like a longhouse. If anyone's ever seen a longhouse or pictures of longhouses, you know, it could be 40 to 60 feet long and 15 to 20 feet wide. But we don't have a permanent location for the lodge as of yet. We're hoping to make some strides this year, but certainly we don't have a location yet. Spiritually, I am being guided to look for property along Lake Superior. So if there's anybody out there that has property that's aware of it, please let me know. So we don't have a physical location. So a lot of the activities that we do, we run them right out of my home for now.
Mm-hmm.
Or for the larger activities, as I said, we would put the lodge up and, you know, we would rent space someplace. We've been out at Chippewa, the Old Fort. We've been at Centennial Park. We've been at many locations. On Mount McKay, you know, out at, we've even gone out to Wimette Canyon one time. We had snow out there. Yeah, so it's always a lot of fun. But the work of the lodge, the work of the teaching lodge, is very much to share what we know about our culture and to invite others from other cultures to come in and share what they know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a great exchange.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of when we started Superior Shores Wellness Center. I don't know if all the listeners know, but I'm a co-owner of Superior Shores Wellness Center here in Thunder Bay, which is also very close to Lake Superior. So that was a calling for us as well. But one of the things we found, and Cindy, I'm hearing it in your message as well, is that we sort of had this vision for a wellness center, a healing center, and at first we thought it was a specific place, but then we realized it was more a gathering of souls and bringing people together for a common connection, which sounds very much like what you're doing. And then the space just sort of adapts to our mission, and sometimes it can be, you know, having the beauty of many spaces is. So I think that's a really important gift that I wanted to point out for our listeners, is that sometimes when we're collaborating spiritually or in our light work or in the missions that we're doing or teachings, that it's not necessarily a brick and mortar type of a structure. It's more of a bringing of wisdom and hearts together and people working together, and some beautiful things can happen from that. And I've heard so many wonderful stories of all the work that you do. And I know you're a super busy lady, because I hear your name all the time and what's going on, and Cindy Crow, and so it's really cool to know that you're doing all of this work. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, Cindy, you mentioned that, you know, that you sort of had to learn the culture. You weren't raised necessarily in the culture. It was something that you had to learn, and that your dad came out of the Nipkin area, Ojibwe. When was it that you got interested in the culture?
Well, I think I've always been interested in it, but you'll find that a lot of Native people in our area and, I don't know, maybe across northern Ontario, there's, for some families, you know, there's a sense of shame attached to the culture, and that was the case in my family. So my dad denied his heritage, and still to this day does on some level. So, as I said, we didn't learn these things at home, but I desperately wanted to learn, and I desperately wanted to be back in Thunder Bay. This was where I was born. I have a terrific connection to the land here and the water especially, and you know, it was like you've probably heard people talk about this calling, you know, this calling that kept, you know, insisting that you come back to this land, and that's what happened to me. So in 1994, with my five children in tow and my ex-husband, we moved everybody here to Thunder Bay. And it's been my salvation, certainly, because this is where I did start to learn about my culture and about what my role was, what my, you know, what my divine life purpose was for this lifetime. So, but really and truly, like the hard learning, the real revelations that I've had, I'm going to say it started about 9 years ago. I had a nervous breakdown, and through that healing process, that was when I finally started listening to myself. Sometimes, you know, the universe is trying to get our attention and trying to get a message through, and sometimes we're not hearing them or we're not acknowledging them. And that was certainly my case at that time. And so finally the universe said, all right, you're not listening. And they took the rug and they pulled it right out from underneath me. And I was totally cornered. I had no choice but to listen. But it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And,
so maybe we could say you had a breakthrough rather than a breakdown.
Yeah, maybe I should be rewording that. That's a very good point, Maggie, because really and truly it was the true beginning of my process, because from that point on, I mean, I had always worked. I had always worked. And for the first time in my life, you know, I left a very well-paying government job and said, no, I need to take care of myself. And I stayed home for 10 months, literally 10 months, and was so incapacitated that, you know, it was a challenge for me to get up in the morning and make myself a cup of coffee. I suffered terribly from depression. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the doctors, you know, they diagnosed it as emotional illness. Well, what does that mean? You know, that could be so many things, but they didn't know what to call it, and so that's what they called it. And of course they tried to put me on medication and all of these kinds of things, but no, I stood firm and I listened to myself, and I had all these wonderful experiences. We were living on Algoma Street at that time, and I was not too far from Anishinaabe Mishkiki, which is on Royston. And one day I remember going out for a walk and something telling me that I needed to go into that building. Well, I didn't know what the heck was going on, so I I went in, and there was an elder waiting for me at the door, and he said, "We've been waiting for you," as if he was annoyed with me that it had taken me that long to get there. And so I followed him, and he brought me into the cedar, the beautiful cedar lodge that they have inside that building. And they did. They had a chair there, and they were waiting for me. And once I was there, the teachings began. And so my life has been since that moment. It's always magical. It's always, you know, I mean, I'm sure people look at me like I've got three heads sometimes when I tell them things, but that is how my life has progressed since that moment. It's been amazing.
Wow. And, you know, I think it's really important for our listeners to know that, you know, you see the story so often that we have to break down to break through, and that the darkest hours are the doorways to the light in many cases. So if people are out there listening to our words today, know that if you are at that place, it could be exactly where you're meant to be to break through to the magic and to the joy and to the other side of creating the beautiful world that you want to create for yourself. So Cindy, that, you know, I really want to commend you for sharing that, because that's very personal, very intimate, and I think it is very very necessary that we, as especially as women, you know, we share our stories, we share our hardships, we share our struggles, and we do it in the hope of holding that light for other souls on our path. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And you know, I'm very upfront about these things, because exactly as you've pointed out, you know, I'm always thinking there might be somebody in the room that needs to hear this. And if I'm prompted to do it, like I'm being prompted right now, you know, I will share that story. I wanted to let people know that there seems to be a really big, I don't want to use the word epidemic, but there's so many people that are experiencing what they call anxiety or heart palpitations or this kind of phenomenon in their lives. And I wanted to share with you that what I have learned through my experiences is that that is actually your spirit. Those feelings that you're having are actually coming from your spirit or your soul, however you call it. And it's waking up, and it's trying to get your attention. And when you become more familiar with that, like in my case, I didn't have any guides, you know, guides to help me along to understand these things. Well, I'm here. There's many other people here that would be willing to help any of the callers or any of the people that are out there listening to understand what that is like and what that's all about and what it means. And so what you're able to do is to get to the point where once you understand what those feelings are, you're able to embrace them. You're able to let those feelings go through. So now, as an example, if I get that feeling, you know, let's say when I wake up in the morning or at some point in the day, I get excited because I know that I'm either going to receive a very important message from spirit or something really phenomenal is going to happen. And so I don't look at it in a fearful way anymore. I'm very open to it and I welcome it. I'm excited. I'm anxious to see what's going to happen. So, yeah, I wanted to make sure that I shared that because, as I said, I'm being prompted to do so. There might be somebody that needs to hear those words. And, you know, and we shouldn't be ashamed or feel bad to talk about these things, because it's something that's happening in our life. And if we don't talk about it, how are we going to, you know, how are we going to get through it? So, yeah, thanks, Maggie.
Yeah, and I want to add to that. You know, you moved me to tears on that one, I have to say. Wow. You know, and that's, in all the work that I do, in all the reading I do, in all the people I meet, the beautiful people doing the work they're doing, that is the message of listening to our souls, listening to our hearts, living authentically, waking up to hear that message. And sometimes the wake-up call, it's not the rosy, all of a sudden, this is how your life's supposed to be. It comes from the beautiful experiences, which we might call struggles, but are actually gifts. And you're right, Cindy. You know, once we embrace that and realize that that's our higher selves talking, our lives can take an absolute transition. And I also want to touch on, you know, I think another epidemic, not only these feelings of, you know, anxiety or these flutters, but the depression is a huge
yes.
epidemic out there. And, you know, if we think of it energetically, depression is our energy, you know, closed off, turned inward. That's why we want to sleep or we can't face the world, where the opposite is the expression. And I think part of the transition can be a normal part. So if you are experiencing depression or some changes maybe in some of that, it's not necessarily that it's something you're going to stay in. It could be part of your transition as well, or it could be an indication that you're not letting your true heart lead you in your direction. So just, you know, I want people to take a different look at those types of experiences rather than seeing them all as negative or fearful, or they can actually be gifts for them. So I hope that helps someone in some way. And speaking of helping someone, I wanted to mention that anyone is welcome to call in with questions today for Cindy or myself. We will be taking callers at the end of the show. And the call-in number today is 347-237-5339, and Cindy or I would be more than happy to help you with any questions you might have or comments or insights. And I do want to mention that you are listening to Blog Talk Radio /GGM Radio. You can find a list of all the shows there. And I'm going to go back to you, Cindy. We're going to have a commercial break coming up in probably in about 8 or 10 minutes. So let's sort of continue on. You know, so where, what happened next after you had this breakthrough? you were hospitalized. You know, that must have been challenging. You had 5 children. You know, and I'm sure as a woman, you're at that point where you're struggling with your own. You know, at the utmost, it's my own will to even live or to keep going, and what I need to do to get through this. And yet having to have all those other responsibilities. How did you do that? What happened to move this to the next step for you?
So very briefly, just to back up a little bit, that breakthrough experience, I like that word, Maggie, that's a good word, for me, as I said, I wasn't able to do anything. So I had no choice. The doctor said that they were keeping me for observation. When I entered the hospital, my blood pressure was, I don't know, it was something like 250 over 205 or something. I think they thought I was having a heart attack. And I looked at the doctor and very calmly said, "It's not my physical heart. It's my emotional heart." And I'm sure he wondered what the heck I was talking about and didn't understand. So, yeah, they hospitalized me at what used to be McKellar. And I had to get someone to come and take care of my children because my children were going to be apprehended, which, of course, just sort of added to the pressure that I was already under. But I gave my dad a call, and my dad lives in Sudbury, and he just jumped in his vehicle and drove up here and took care of the kids. So I wasn't in the hospital long, only 5 days. And when I came out, my dad stayed with us, and I did nothing but lay on the couch. I had a couch, and he had a couch, and we did nothing but watch comedies. I remember watching Seinfeld and, you know, watching the same show over and over and over again and laughing like a bugger every single time. And, you know, that's what I concentrated on, was doing whatever I could to uplift my spirit. Because when I was in the hospital, I had this experience like I felt like I had died somehow. Because I didn't have any passion. I didn't have a spark. I couldn't feel any joy in seeing the moon or listening to the birds. That had all disappeared for me. So it was a very scary time in my life. So, yeah, so watching comedies, taking really good care of myself. As I said, I had to leave my job. I didn't go back to my job. And I concentrated on feeding the birds every day. That was my task. As long as I could get up sometime during the day and go in the backyard and feed the birds, that was all I sort of made myself do. So it was reading, it was, you know, attending ceremonies, completely concentrating on self-care. So that was the first time for me. I had never concentrated on myself before. So doing that, and at one point, I received a vision, and the vision was this very large bear in my kitchen, and she was communicating with me, even though we didn't speak verbally, but we were communicating with each other and we understood each other. And I think the most amazing part of that dream for me was that I didn't have any fear. I didn't fear her, or I didn't fear what the experience was. And it took a few months, but I was able to find an elder who interpreted that vision for me and told me what my role was. Well, you can just imagine how amazed and shocked and surprised I was when he told me that my spiritual role was that of a lodge keeper, and that the lodge that I was carrying was Grey Wolf. And so, yeah, that blew me away. It took a few weeks to sort of process that and say, all right, you know, if the Creator thinks that I can do this, I guess I can. And so that was how it sort of started. And then my learning began, my real learning began.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, you know, you were saying a few weeks to process, but I imagine it's a lifetime because, you know, we evolve as we go, and even to embrace a whole new, I don't even want to know what to call it. I wouldn't say a teaching, a whole new, it's a whole new part of you, isn't it?
Well, it was the part, yeah, it was the part of me that was crying out to be heard. You know, you talk about the true authentic self. Well, that's who I am. That is my, that is the real me. And yeah, so how grateful am I that I had this breakthrough, and I've had the courage to step up to the plate, because the Creator is always challenging me. You know, okay, well, you're comfortable doing this, now how about doing this now? You know, so it's a constant stepping up, it's a constant learning, and when I am being challenged to do something, the teachers always come as well. So I never have to look for them. They always come, and the lessons are provided to me.
Beautiful. Just allowing. You know, we're going to our commercial here shortly, but I wanted to just, like, sort of backtrack for a moment, Cindy, on something you said. You know how we know there's no coincidences, there's all these synchronicities. We were talking about laughing and watching the comedies and how you raised your vibration or lifted your spirit. And I was just reading in a book called What If You Could Do If You Could Skip the Cancer by Katrina Boss or Bose, I'm not sure how you say it. She will be a guest on the show soon. But she has a beautiful book. But in the book, she talks about when her mother was dying of breast cancer, and she had heard way back in the day before the internet, where you could just Google things, but of this laughter therapy that was very therapeutic, and she managed to track it down, and she learned about a gentleman who had a debilitating disease, and he holed himself up in a hotel room and laughed and watched movies and comedies and walked out of that hotel room pain-free. And, you know,
yeah.
I think that's a really important message for our listeners to hear, because it came up again today, and it was part of what was that initial catalyst to move you. So if you are listening and today and you are not feeling as vibrationally alive or vibrant, or your soul's not expressing itself the way you know is lying dormant in there, like Cindy mentioned, that part of her, do things that bring you joy. Even if you don't feel like, do things that make you laugh. Be around people that make you feel good. Do whatever you can, because it will shift you. And sometimes we don't have the strength to do it ourselves with our minds, but if we can just let our spirits be exposed to that light and laughter and the lightness, it can really help. And would you agree with that, Cindy?
Absolutely. You know, something we can talk about after the break is a sharing circle that we have here every 2 weeks, and that would be an opportunity for somebody to come and release that lower energy that's holding them back and elevate themselves up to a higher energy.
Oh, yes. I, you know, every day of my life I work at doing that. You know, people see me, they say, Maggie, I know you're always so positive, but I work at it, Cindy, I really do, and it gets easier and easier. That's the best part. It just becomes a natural way of being, and it's way better on this side than the other side. I've been in guilt and shame and fear and all of those emotions, and I much prefer the lightness and the love. And when that happens, it's like you were talking, the messages come, the opportunities open, the teachers appear, because you're flowing. Your universal energy is flowing and it's open. So
So we're going to get ready to go to our commercial here, and I just want to remind everyone that you're welcome to call in. Please do. We'd love to hear from you. 347-237-5339. Again, you're with Maggie Holbick on Blog Talk Radio, and you can learn more about me at maggieholbick.com. That's maggieholbik.com. So here we go to a commercial. We'll see you soon.
Hello, everyone. Bea Delosier here with a rundown of GGM Radio's brand new schedule. Boy, have we got some wonderful new programs with great new hosts. A little something for everyone. On Mondays at 11 a.m. Central, it's Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell for an hour of psychic chat and inspirational guests. Mondays at 7 p.m. Central, it's time for Primarily Paranormal with psychic Tina Marie. Share an hour with Tina and Bob Weber of Gulf Coast Paranormal. On the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 p.m. Central, it's the Back to Brilliance Hour with Lynn Hoft and Vivian Hildebrand, an hour devoted to your spiritual growth. Wednesdays start at 11 a.m. Central with Maggie Holbick and Crystal Clear Coaching, featuring motivational inspiration to get your life back on track. At 1 p.m. Central, join Claudia Cleary on Wednesdays with Namaste Nutrition for an hour of soothing chat all about good health, positivity, and spiritual balance. Thursdays, start your day at 9 a.m. Central with Nancy Murdoch and Mastering the Art of Joyfulness. Let Nancy and her special guests lift you out of that rut and get you back in your groove. At 8 p.m. Central, join Dr. Gregory Scott for the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. Gregory offers spiritual education to further you along your path to enlightenment and empowerment. Fridays at 12 noon Central, it's Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Join Brenda for an hour of inspiration and motivation, featuring a lineup of today's most popular authors and guests. Friday night at 7 p.m. Central, enjoy an hour of psychic chat with spot-on reader Tasha Harris and the Angels Network. Saturdays begin at noon Central with Bea Delosier, yours truly, and the Metaphysical Edge for psychic chat and interesting guests ranging from UFO research, paranormal experiencers, and all things metaphysical. At 2 p.m. Central on Saturday, it's Audrey Quinn and My Beauty Angel, an hour created just for you with tips and tricks on how to be the best you can be with what God has given you. Sunday is a day of service here on Greater Good Ministries Radio, each week featuring a different interfaith minister bringing joy, upliftment, and unfoldment for body, mind, and spirit. First Sunday of the month is Conversations Beyond the Edge with Dr. Gregory Scott. The second Sunday of the month is the Empowerment Hour with Reverend Barbara B. Delosier. Third Sunday of the month is the Light Givers International Sunday Service and Worldwide Source a Nation Celebration. The fourth Sunday of the month is In His Presence with Evangelist Patricia Benneman. Hope you will join us live for all of our Greater Good Ministries radio programs, but if you can't be with us in person, you can hear any of our programs on demand in archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/ggmradio. And remember, all of our programs now stream live from our home site, www.ggmradio.com. Wishing everyone warmest blessings, always in love.
Welcome to the Maya Miguel Challenge. Meet Maya and the gang.
Oh, hi, I'm Maya.
Maya and her friends want you to get up and play, because it's always more fun to be active.
Let's get started.
Just go to letsmove.gov and look for Maya and Miguel. You'll find tons of fun activities that'll help keep you healthy and active, whether you play sports, run, dance, or jump in place, just get up and play at least an hour a day. Take the Maya Miguel Challenge today at letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
You're listening to Maggie Holbert and Crystal Clear Coaching on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, back to Maggie.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back after that lovely break. I'm here today with my guest, Cindy Crowe, and it's been a pleasure. I'm really enjoying this immensely to have Cindy on the show. One of the things I wanted to mention before we carried on is Cindy and I were talking about, you know, sort of sharing from our heart, and when we share some of the challenges and breakthroughs that we've gone through, we've coined a new phrase, breakdown to breakthrough. But that, and I love that too. But that, you know, it really helps other people. And I wanted to mention for anyone listening on this call right now, we are all, you know, having a human experience here on the earth. We're doing the best we can. And Cindy and I were talking before the show about doing a show. And we both agreed that if we just come from the place of our heart and speak through our hearts and speak our truths, we never have anything to fear. And I really want to encourage everyone to live, if they can, with that type of philosophy in mind. You know, we were talking, Cindy was talking about being a guest on a show, and I was talking about being a radio show host, and I said, you know, this is a newer thing for me, and I'm absolutely loving it, but I don't have to be any experienced professional radio show host. I can just be Maggie, who shows up, gives from the heart. Cindy can be Cindy, who shows up. She's my guest. She speaks her truth, and I encourage everyone to please allow that part of you to come out. Maybe someone's asked you to come to a parent-teacher meeting and share your ideas, or someone asked you to give a talk at the local church, or whatever it is. Maybe it's not even speaking. Maybe it's just you showing up with your heart. Just be you, and that's my message today. I just feel a need, or I'm listening to my own guidance to share that with everyone, so maybe that'll help someone out there. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it back over to Cindy. Now, Cindy and I were just talking before the break about, you know, ways that maybe, you know, after she had this experience and having more peace in our lives and, you know, ways that we could do that to bring that presence about, and she thought she might share some of the things that they're using. But before we do that, Cindy, before I turn it back to you, is there any way that people can learn more about you? Do you have a website? Is there a blog? Is there anything that you want to share of where people can learn more about what you do?
Sure. I'm listed in the phone book, Cindy Crowe, Crowe with an E. Feel free to give me a call at any time. And also, we've got a couple of websites. One is graywolfteachinglodge.ca, and gray is spelled with an E, so graywolfteachinglodge.ca. And you'll see some pictures on there, which will give you an idea of what I was talking about when I said what the teaching lodge looks like. So there's some pictures on there and some reports of some gatherings that we've had. So that'll give you a little information. We also talk about on there a sharing circle that we have every 2 weeks, as well as cultural awareness workshops. So let's say your organization is looking to learn a little bit more about the Anishinaabe culture. Well, our group, that's what we do. We provide this cultural training to organizations. So we can either do it in-house or we can do it as a public workshop, however you want to do it. So there's that, and then also for my sort of more personal spiritual healing work or counseling work, I also have another website. It's called Creator's Messenger. That's all one word, .ca. And so it gives you a little bit of an idea of the kind of work that I do. It also gives you a little bit of history about me so that you can see sort of where my guidance is coming from. Where do I get this information, and where do I get the the research and whatnot in order to help people? And that's all I'm doing. I'm a conduit, I'm a channel, I'm a facilitator. And it's amazing what happens when people, you know, open themselves up to that, and I hold the sacred space for them, and we listen to what the Creator is telling you. And as Maggie was saying earlier, you know, if you want to be your own true authentic self, that would be a good way to start, is to simply, you know, whether it's meditation or going for a walk out in nature, but somehow getting in tune with yourself and really listening to yourself. Thanks, Maggie.
Thank you. Yes, all answers come from within. I think often, Cindy, we're looking outside of ourselves, and really we just need to get into that space, like you said, whether it's nature, walking, or meditating, where we can hear ourselves and honor ourselves and know that, you know, that our those things count, especially as women. We put other people first all the time, families, you know, even careers. We tend to ignore that part of ourselves. I shouldn't say never, but that part of ourselves that is that inner voice talking. So let's talk about, I'm going to let you take it to where you want to share next. Let's just go with the flow and you take it from here, Cindy. Tell us.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about possible messages that the listeners could be receiving. And, you know, sometimes, again, if we don't have the guidance or we don't have someone to sort of bounce these experiences off with, we may be overlooking something really important. And I'll just give you a couple of examples just to sort of get the conversation going. Is if I'm driving on the highway and there is an animal that comes out either on the road or tries to cross the road, to me there's very strong messages when something like that happens. And let's say that you see a bear and the bear crosses in front of your vehicle. So somehow, you know, either before you get there or just as you're getting to that point in the road, this bear crosses the road in front of you. To me, that's a very clear direction from the spirit world that you need to stop in your tracks, whatever it is that you're doing. So there may be an activity that you're doing. There may be a decision that you're about to make, but they're cautioning you and they're telling you, no, you're not on the right path here. This isn't the right path. Don't go down this path anymore. And I don't mean in the literal sense on the highway. I mean in life. They're telling you that that's not a good path. And then, you know, in contrast, if they're sitting on the side of the road and they're literally just watching you go by, well, they're telling you, hey, clear sailing, you're on a good path, just keep right on going. And so that's a very simple explanation, but it's just to give you an idea of the kind of messages perhaps that you may be receiving. You know, you might have a little bird coming and knocking on your window. Well, if a bird's knocking on your window, it's trying to tell you something. There's a message there that you need to pay attention to. And there's many other ways that messages could be coming. For myself, because that's where my gifts are, is with the animals. That's how I get a lot of my messages. But there's a whole variety of ways that you could be receiving messages. And they usually try to send you messages in ways that you will understand. So perhaps it's an invitation through email to something, a workshop or something. And if it's kind of tugging at you to go, well, listen to that tug. You know, it's bringing you there for a reason. Or you hear something on the radio, or you know, you overhear. I get a lot of messages, just sort of not necessarily eavesdropping, but overhearing things from another conversation. Or if you hear something more than once, if they say that set of words, you know, 2, 3, 4 times, well, hello, there's a big message there. You need to listen to that. So those are just some examples, Maggie. I don't know. You probably have lots of examples.
Yeah, no, that's great. I just have to share a story. The child in me has to share this, or the ego. I don't know what it is, but I have to share this. I was driving along one time over in Port Arthur, and for those that are in Thunder Bay, you might even know where this is, but I'm just going to say it's off of, I think it's off of Valley Street. Anyway, I'm driving along, and I'm listening to this CD about your power animal. And for those that know me, I love the squirrels. I love my squirrels. My squirrels love me. I love them. We coexist in my yard. One even hopped on my laundry basket one day. I was taking clothes to hang on the line, and they hopped right on, and I just love them. And I don't see them. I see them as opportunists. Some people see people as squirreling things away. I see them as opportunists. They're making use of things. And anyway, so I'm driving along, and I'm listening to this power animal CD, and it says, you know, close your eyes right now and ask who your power animal is. I'm driving. So, you know, you do it because I'm just kind of on a street that's absolutely quiet. There's nothing on it. I'm almost like a little bit in the country. There's trees around me. And then all of a sudden I'm given this message, open your eyes. So I close them, and I immediately open them, and there's a school bus in front of me. So it was, you know, I had to stop. It was the divine guidance. And then I look up, Cindy, and there is this big white sign that's not even a real street sign, but somebody put it on their road, and it says Squirrel Drive. Anyway, and I was parked right there at the sign. That's exactly where I stopped. And it was, to me, it was just a beautiful message. And, I don't know if that was meant stopping what you were talking about earlier, but that was a great experience for me.
Well, to me, that confirmed what you already know, is that, you know, you do have this relationship with the squirrels, whether they are your power animal or spirit helper or your clan, for all you know. Maybe the squirrel is your clan. You know, it to me, sort of the details don't really matter. It's more the intention or the feeling or the, you know, sort of how I feel in my heart that matters. So if it's telling me something in my heart or my spirit, well, then I'm really, really, really listening. Even though I don't necessarily know what the label is, I'm still listening. And, oh, yeah, we've had so many experiences, very powerful experiences with animals. And I don't know how much time we have to share, but I'll share one quick one. I can remember I was in our community, which is Lake Helen or the Red Rock Indian Band, and I was along the Parmachine River, and I was offering some tobacco to the Creator. And so I was putting the tobacco into the river, and I had my head bowed and my eyes were closed, and I was praying. And when I opened up my eyes and looked up, this loon, this very large loon, just sort of popped up right in front of me, like within 5 or 6 feet, which is very unusual. They don't usually come that close. But I knew it was a spirit because it was the colors, like the white was so brilliant and the black was so brilliant. It was just as if it was lit up like a light bulb. And I knew at that second that was a very special experience for me. It was a sacred experience, and I was just so grateful. And when I see the animals, that's how I see them. I see them like that. They're very bright. They're very brilliant. And I'm so grateful that I'm learning about them and having these experiences with them. And I don't know if there's any listeners that have that same sort of feeling for animals. To me, if a person is connected to the animals, that says a lot to me about their sort of level of enlightenment, I guess, or level of awareness, because we do need to be connected to the other living things in our presence. So whether that's a blade of grass, the tree, you know, a rock, the mountains, the lake, the animals, whatever it is, they all carry spirits, and they're all very, very much alive. What do you think, Maggie?
I absolutely 1,000,000% agree. And, you know, and I think that the more you tap into your divinity, the more you realize that, and the connection almost becomes magical. I mean, Cindy, will love to just run my feet through the my naked feet through the grass and just experience that feeling. I'm a tree hugger. I can feel the energy of them, and I really do. And I don't care if people think I'm crazy. It's just the way of it for me. I wanted to tell you. We're going to move a little bit into some of your experiences and lessons that are basic principles. I know one of them is gratitude. But before we do that, for the listeners, in addition to what Cindy was saying. You know, looking for the signs. Sometimes the signs, for me, when I do my life coaching or my Finding Joy in Your Life workshop, one of the things that I share with people is just to listen to what I call your joy meter. Does it bring you joy? If, you know, right now I'm having absolute joy having this conversation with Cindy. It's bringing me joy. I know that because I'm tuned into myself. I'm tuned into my joy meter. You know, if someone asks you to go on a trip, you instantly know whether you want to go on that trip or not. And then we take our minds and we rationalize and we justify or we make an excuse or we justify why we should go. You can bypass that. The signs are listening to your heart and listening to what brings you joy. So it doesn't even have to be complicated sometimes. It can be as simple as, listening to what brings you joy. So I wanted to make sure I got that in for the callers too, because it's something that I find is a really easy tool to use. It works every single time, and the more you use that, it's like a muscle, your joy muscle. It's sort of that little meter goes ding, 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 or nope. And you can look at it as, does it make your heart sing? Does your, you know, do your feet want to tap when you do that? So there's whatever signal works for you, but definitely listen to that. So, Cindy, tell us, I know you've learned through some experiences and lessons in life that, you know, you say that you have some basic principles to happiness. So we have about 8 minutes left, and maybe you can share, if you have enough time, all of them or some of them, but I'm sure the listeners would love to hear what your basic principles to happiness are.
Oh, thank you for that chance. So I think first and foremost is trust. For me, I'm learning, I'm still learning how to trust. And when I say trust, again, it's talking about trusting in myself, trusting in my heart, trusting in my spirit, my higher self, however you term it, and trusting in the divine, whether you call the divine, you know, your creator or God or Buddha or whatever term you use. It's listening to that. And sometimes that means taking a leap of faith. And, you know, when you're at the fork in the road and sometimes, yeah, to listen to yourself, you might have to take this leap of faith. It's okay. It's okay. As Maggie was saying, you know, if your joy meter is telling you, yes, 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 this is the right thing to do, then you need to trust in that and you need to do it. One quick example of that is last year, sort of at a last minute, I had an opportunity to attend a workshop in Hawaii. Well, I've always had this fear of crossing the ocean, and so here was a test for me. Well, I booked the flight on Sunday and I left on Thursday, so there was no time for me to get nervous or worried, and it simply happened. And I remember as we left the coast at Vancouver, I remember them sending me this very beautiful sight, and I could see these halos of color just sort of sitting lightly on the clouds. And so I knew that was my confirmation, that was my little sign that everything's going to be okay, you're doing the right thing, and you're on a good path. So certainly trust is a big one for me. And Maggie's already mentioned gratitude. I think this is so paramount in our lives to really be grateful for absolutely everything that you have in your life, whether that's your family, whether that's a warm home, whether that's food on the table, whether it's a good job, the relationships that you have, your friendships that you have, whatever they are, the opportunity or the ability to go for a walk and be able to, sit with the trees, whatever it is. But it's so important to send that gratitude out, because as we're sending that gratitude out to the universe, we're attracting more of that to come to us, and we're inviting more of that to come to us. So yeah, I really feel that gratitude is also very, very important. And I don't know if we've talked about this too much yet, but the realization that we create or manifest our own reality through our thoughts and through our words. I can remember the first time the elders were cautioning me about the language that I was using or the terminology that I was using. And what they taught me is that as we are thinking these thoughts or saying these words, what we're saying is being sent out. It's being sent out to the universe, and we're also hearing it ourselves. So if it's something that's negative, well, that's what we're going to create. That's what we're going to manifest. And, you know, or on the contrast, if it's something very positive, perhaps it's a desire that we have or an objective that we want to fulfill, you know, those thoughts that you have, those words that you speak, that is what creates your reality, your experience here on Earth. And what else do we have?
I want to add to that just for a moment.
Sure.
Not only are, you know, our thoughts creating, but when we put energy behind our thoughts, if you think of the word emotion, so you put emotion, maybe in, you know, you really want something and you can get yourself to that place of being excited about it, or you're having gratitude with that loving emotion. Emotion is emotion, energy and motion. So I like to look at emotions as my rocket fuel. I have my thoughts, I have my desires, I have my things I want to create and bring into my experience, but when I put emotion behind it, that's my rocket fuel. So I love it to think of it that way. So and you know, I wanted to touch one little thing too when we were talking about gratitude is sometimes when we're working towards what I call mastery, we also have to be grateful for all those experiences that we don't deem as the ones we spoke of that are the what we call the positive. Sometimes they're the ones that were like your breakthrough. So yes. Very important when we have gratitude, we have to trust that everything is for our highest good, and to have gratitude for the pathway opening, and that all of those experiences are part of our gratitude bundles per se. So I just wanted to add that. So I'll turn it back to you. So we had trust, we had gratitude, and then realizing that we create with our thoughts. What else do you?
So well, there's a couple more, but I wanted to just say that I had a recent breakthrough myself over the last couple of weeks, and it was around distinguishing between my spirit side and my ego side. And I have been predominantly concentrating and focusing on spirit, and so sort of only paying attention to that part of it. But I received a message loud and clear that my ego wants to be acknowledged as well. And so I've now developed a plan for spirit and a plan for ego, and I've named them. My ego's name is Ralph, and my spirit's name is Whisper. So I've done this plan. This is my life plan. This is what I want to do, and these are Whisper's responsibilities, and these are Ralph's responsibilities. And so we'll see if that puts me in any better balance, acknowledging this relationship that I have with spirit and with my ego. So I just wanted to throw that in there. I think that's important.
I want to throw something in, Cindy. I just want to throw that. We can go over it, so we don't have to worry. We can be a little late here. Yes, I believe ego has its place. And you know how you did that was beautiful, how you gave them two names. In life coaching, one of the techniques we use is the parts of me, where we give them names. Part of me wants to do this, part of me. So that is beautiful. That's like one of the best examples I've seen to integrate those two. And I hope you'll keep me abreast, if not our listeners, on another show of how that's working for you. But I think that's phenomenal. I just wanted to commend you on that. All right, back to you.
Yeah, so another quick example of that is the elders also teach about, you know, whether you want to feed the dark wolf or whether you want to feed the white wolf. And so, you know, the dark wolf sort of being recognized as your ego and the white wolf being recognized as your spirit. And so just as the medicine wheel teaches us, everything needs to be in balance. So that, as I said, that was a huge breakthrough for me to realize that my ego is saying, hey, you're forgetting about me over here. And, you know, I have my role too, and I have my work too, and you're not listening to me. So, yeah, that was a huge breakthrough for me. So the other principle I wanted to mention is forgiveness. Again, very important. You know, it doesn't mean that by forgiving someone or forgiving yourself that you're necessarily forgetting what happened. But what it allows you to do is it gives you the freedom then, because once you have provided that forgiveness, you are then free from that attachment. And it's the only true way, I believe, that you can heal from something is to practice forgiveness. And it is a practice. It is something that you need to work on and get really good at. And you will. You can really get good at it. And sort of along with that is releasing. Releasing is all about releasing lower vibrations or releasing past experiences or releasing any sort of pain or emotions that you don't want to carry anymore. It's so important to release them. And you can do that in a variety of ways. I like to release them to the water. And so I will have some sort of a symbol of what it is that I'm releasing, and I'll wrap it up in cloth, put tobacco in there, usually some food, and maybe some gifts for the water beings, and I release that into running water. You could do sort of the same sort of idea with a sacred fire as well, or even out in the bush. But it is important to illustrate to yourself that, yes, I am releasing this now. I'm letting this go, because in order to make room for other teachings and other great things in your life, you need to release some of the things that are no longer serving you. And you'll know when it's the right time to do that. And I guess sort of the last thing on this simple list is to pray or to request your divine, whoever or whatever that is, to request assistance from them. I think it's very important to admit, to realize that, you know, we need help. We are weak and we need help. We're simple humans and we need that assistance. So you can do that in a variety of ways too. If you pray to angels, you know, you could pray to angels. I'm constantly praying to the archangels. You could pray to the spirits or your spirit helpers. You know, whatever that represents for you, whatever is appropriate in your life, that is what you would use to ask. But I just feel it's so important to ask. And so, Maggie, that's a really quick quick version.
Well, we'll have to have you back on elaborate on that. Someone just messaged me that I think we ran out of time, so we're probably the only ones hearing this right now, but I'm not sure. But that's all good. You and I both know to go with the flow. Cindy, I want to thank you so much for being here today. It was an absolute delight, and I'm looking forward to having you on the show again and with updates, and you can share, you know, what's going on with your journey. Is there anything you want to say to feel complete before we wrap up the show?
Oh, just thank you very much for the opportunity. I love being able to share what I've learned and in turn receive the teachings from others as well. So, yeah, I just really enjoy sharing. So thank you very much for the opportunity. This was great.
You're welcome. And I want to thank your animals. They were very cooperative.
Yeah, I'm hiding up in my room.
Oh, good. Okay, well, you have an amazing day, and if our listeners can still hear me, you have an amazing day, an amazing week. Listen to your joy meter, live authentically, live in love, and live fearlessly. And I want to mention,
awesome,
next week there's no show. I'm taking a mini vacation and honoring myself, so I will not be having a show on Wednesday, May 1st. All right, everyone, take care. Bye-bye.